Well, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This transfiguration story that is perhaps familiar even to those who don't know a whole lot about the story of Jesus is a strange story. It's one that we don't necessarily know what to make of. The story itself is a little strange, with clouds and people thought long dead appearing, speaking to Jesus, Jesus being changed in front of his friends, his disciples. It's also strange in that it comes here at a seasonal shift for us, a switch between the time of Epiphany, time of light, time of revelation to the nations of who Jesus is in our world, in our lives, to a time of personal reflection during Lent, a time of focusing on how Jesus comes to us in our hearts and our lives. Indeed, we've spent a lot of time in the Gospel of Mark this first season of our new year. As we've looked to the first chapter of Mark, really, over these last 6 weeks, staying in that very first chapter, hearing how Jesus was announced and then baptized, how Jesus called his first disciples, and how Jesus begins his ministry, all captured in that very first chapter of Mark. We see how Jesus announces his ministry by going about and healing and casting out demons. And in that way, announcing that the kingdom of God is upon us. All of this happens in the very first chapter of the Gospel of Mark. And then we seem to, in order to get to today, race through the book of Mark to chapter 9, where in this transitional moment for us, we read this story of how Jesus is transformed and how Jesus is changed before our eyes, so that we may see him in a different light. As the story goes, Jesus has gone up onto a mountain, but this time Jesus doesn't go alone. Jesus takes with him his friends, Peter and James and John, some of those first disciples that Jesus once called. It seems as if Jesus, as he once taught the disciples by example, going up a mountain, going to a place set apart, Jesus is now teaching us how we must live our lives. Jesus is no stranger to mountains. We saw that in that first chapter, how Jesus went apart to a place. And throughout the gospel, we will find Jesus in different places, on different hilltops, in different secluded places. Jesus will go to those high places, perhaps because, as some other ancients thought, that would bring him closer to God. High places, closer to the God that is transcendent and above this world. Perhaps. High places are important to us too. They're places of majesty and wonder. Places that it takes a lot of effort to get to and to achieve that goal. They're also places of beauty, places that we love to go to get apart from the bustle and the hecticness of this world, to rid ourselves of traffic sounds and cell phone sounds and the other noises of our lives, to have a moment when we can remember how we are connected to this creation of God. High places are also places in our minds. They don't have to be literal places. They can be places that are our own achievements, our own sense of glorification, our own sense of accomplishment. Places in our world and in our minds and in our lives where we have been and where we know that we have touched something that is surreal, something that blesses our lives and changes them forever. But as Jesus shows us, high places can also be places in our own hearts, quiet places where we go, perhaps alone, but also perhaps with friends, with the opportunity to share some time, to share words, to share the gifts that God has given us, that we might reflect on who we are and what God has made in us. Maybe we're like Peter, and we want to, like Peter, build a place in those high places, in those places set apart. Set up a shelter of some sort, even if it's rudimentary, even if it doesn't serve our purposes well, but only allows us to imagine that we can stay in those places where we are comfortable, where things are understandable, and where all is right with the world. We are like Peter in that way. We sometimes would like to stay in those places, set apart, apart from the hurriedness of this world, apart from the troubles of this world. Indeed, we're pretty good at that, actually. We're pretty good at that in our society as we set up our places where we can stay behind locked doors, where we can assume that all of our business is taken care of in such a way that it will protect us for days to come. Even our churches sometimes become those places where we want to stay and experience this blessing of God that God has showered upon us, allowed us to sit in, once again, comfortable pews, sing songs, and hear God's voice through prayer. And it's not that that's bad. It's not that our homes shouldn't be places of gathering together with family and experiencing everything there is to learn and grow. Even our financial business should and can be a place where we can plan for our own future and indeed even the future of others as we set up endowments, as we set up a way for all that we have built in our lives. Excuse me. All that we've built in our lives to serve and to give to others. Our places of worship can be places of praise and glory. It can be places where we come together and hear the word of God and share those quiet moments with Jesus. Whatever our high places are, whatever those places are that we go and we know that we've experienced something new and something fresh of God, Jesus takes us to those mountaintop places. And Jesus remains not the Jesus of the first chapter. Jesus is changed before us. Jesus reveals to us, as Jesus once did to those Peter and James and John, how Jesus can be transformed. And through that, how Jesus can transform us as we listen to that voice as once again was spoken. Listen to him. He is my son. He is the beloved. And yet we find, as with Jesus and his friends, we too must come down the mountain. Indeed, Jesus leads us intentionally back into the world, away from those places of wonder and love and joy, into the world where those things happen as well, but also suffering and pain and fear. Our world doesn't exist only on the mountaintops, but in the low places of our lives and of the lives of people around us. Indeed, as we read on in the Gospel of Mark, we'll see that as Jesus leads his disciples down this mountain, Jesus will at once confront those troubles of the world. A father who brings his son who has been tormented by a demon, he says to Jesus, "Teacher, I brought you my son. He has a spirit, not a spirit of goodness and hope, but a spirit that causes him to thrash and worry and strive." Jesus sends us too into the world of spirits, into a world where spirits hold captive people's lives, either by their isolation or by the busyness of our world that holds them captive and cannot release them to experience even the goodness of their lives. Perhaps it is apropos that this Transfiguration Sunday comes to us on a day when we're looking back towards the season of Epiphany that we have just concluded, a season that has revealed to us all that Jesus can be and allows us also to look forward to our season of Lent, where we will experience Jesus in personal and sometimes fearful ways as we follow Jesus to the cross and beyond. For indeed, Jesus will lead us up another kind of hill, another kind of mountain that will take Jesus even closer to God, as the Gospel of Mark particularly is so apt to say, Jesus was lifted up on the cross, suspended between that place where God is and where our world is, so that Jesus may be for us the one that teaches us to be the disciples who will take up our own cross, recognizing our place with God, but also our place in our world. High places and those mountaintop experiences, they are good and wonderful and beautiful, and we need them in our lives, both personally and communally, with friends and with congregation, with community and with our world. But God also sends us into the low places of our world, places where we have the opportunity to reach out our hands and our voices. And along the way, Jesus will give us perhaps little mountaintop experiences, time of relationship, time and the ability to access resources, take advantage of the things that this world gives us as gifts to manage our lives, to manage our hope for the days to come. Perhaps the high places are those times when we either give or receive good gifts from neighbors, words and symbols of hope and encouragement for each day, and an opportunity to be alone sometimes. Jesus gives us prayer for one another, a high point of being able to say, God, let me bring this person's name and this situation to you, that you may hold it, and you may keep it, and send it back to us, transformed. God gives us this place to come and receive the gifts that God has given us here, in the bread and the wine, in the prayer and the song, in the gift of being a community, a congregation that has high places like this and also places that we are sent. And indeed, perhaps that is what Jesus is talking about when he says the kingdom of God is upon us like it was with Jesus and Peter and James and John, as we gather in this place and as we take those steps out into our world to share that kingdom, to be that life of Christ for the people of the world. Amen.